Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. My name is Ryan McInniff, and I'm here joined with Janet. I am the host of this show, as well as the owner of Minute Women Home Care, a private home care company in Lexington. So our show tries to give education and information on senior care topics. We try to give you as much unbiased opinions and information as you can so that people can make an informed decision when their loved one eventually needs to have help, whether that's in a hospital, long-term care facility, or a private home care company like ours. So, Janet, what's going on? How are you? You're not sick anymore? You sound good?
I'm not sick anymore. I am doing better. That crappy cold that everybody's gotten is now in the rearview mirror.
Excellent. I am very glad to hear that. So today we're going to be talking about the five best ways to introduce home care. This is kind of a basic one, but it's something that comes up all the time in the sense that we got people that call up and the family members are 100% on board. If they could get more than 24 hours a day of care, they would do it. But mom and dad or mom or dad or whoever it is not feeling it. They don't want to do it. They don't trust it. They're very nervous. They are scared of their privacy going away. They're scared that their independence is going away, and they are fighting it tooth and nail. How often does this happen, Janet?
Oh, I'd say it's at least half of the calls that we get in one form or another.
Absolutely. People are worried. Understandably, we've talked about this a number of times. But here's five ways to introduce home care where you get to introduce it into the home, and the person gets to know about it, but it's kind of the safest ways where you can say, but they're going to leave. You know, this isn't this isn't forever.
It's like lousy company at a party. They will go home.
Absolutely. So the first one and the easiest way to do it would be VNA care, Visiting Nurses Association. Mm-hmm. Janet, how about you go into why this is a great way to introduce home care and caregivers to an individual?
Well, a VNA or a visiting nurse is something that is generally covered under someone's insurance benefit.
So, also known as free.
Yes. So maybe you and I are paying for it, but yes. But the good thing about it is that the person feels that all their Social Security and everything they paid into, they're getting something for their money.
Correct.
So that's a good thing. And it's also a relatively short-term thing. You're only there as long as the doctor determines you need help for whatever specific reason they came in the first place.
Absolutely. So the reason why it's so great is because there's no out-of-pocket cost and there is a very finite amount of time. Finite amount of time in which the VNA is going to be in there so that the person knows that there is a light at the end of this tunnel, but they get the experience of having somebody come in, do a specific task, and then leave.
Yep.
And ask those questions and having somebody be around. But it isn't exactly like getting private home care where somebody's in there for blocks of time, as we've talked about before. Usually you're talking 15 minutes to 45 minutes to do task-oriented services that if all the person needs is an injection, they're going to be in there for 5 minutes. If they need a sponge bath, maybe they'll be in there for a bit longer. So the number two way that I think it's a great way to introduce home care is transportation services. Mm-hmm. Now, this is certainly getting somewhere where you're using a private home care company because a VNA wouldn't provide any of the services. But Janet, what do you like about the transportation that this allows an entryway for families out there looking for a way to wedge open that door a little bit?
Well, the way I think transportation can help is the person, the client, feels a little more independent. They're not being taken by their kids. And they also are freeing up. They're less of a burden on their family because oftentimes family members have to take time away from work to go to appointments. And with the caregiver, they can just go. And what we often do is we tie it in with a trip to the pharmacy on the way back from the doctor's appointment or maybe stop at the grocery store. So it's a way to get to know someone that's not their family, that's not the VNA. And again, it has a beginning and an end time, you know, so it's not like you're stuck together all day. And it gives them freedom.
Absolutely. It gives them freedom. And maybe just to add on that, one thing it does provide that Uber isn't going to do, or maybe a taxi, is that they can help them get to the house and to their appointment, so that, yes, you know that somebody's not being left on the side of the road to figure it out.
Yeah, a cab or an Uber or anything like that. That's a door-to-door, the car's sitting in the driveway. If you are someone that's taking the ride, which is a paid for under certain circumstances, sometimes scheduling can be a problem. If you go with a private agency, you are choosing the time, and they will, if it's to a doctor's appointment, half the time the problem's not just getting there, but once you walk in the front door of the hospital, you've got to navigate this whole big building. They can have them sit in a wheelchair and, you know, have them take a ride to get where they have to go, and they're less fatigued.
Absolutely. And on top of that, there's that social aspect of it, is that, yes, you're going to have somebody that's interacting versus whether maybe a taxi and Uber. There isn't that one-on-one getting to know each other. And as more and more people, as an individual uses transportation services more and more, they end up requesting the same person.
Correct.
Because they developed a rapport with them, which you're not going to get with those car services. So that transportation allows that, those services allow that kind of entryway into getting to know a caregiver, learning that these people are not bad people. They're there to help you.
Yep.
And they end up becoming friendly and friends. And then that opens up the door of saying, hey, mom or dad, maybe it's worthwhile having somebody come in twice a week to do X, Y, and Z rather than just transportation.
Yep.
Another area that's really great for people is home helpers. And what I mean by this is a home helper is somebody that helps out with maybe a little bit of cleaning, takes out the garbage, does some of the chores, maybe does the laundry. I think this is a great area in which I think that maybe men, that's a great entry level for men who maybe have stereotypically over the years, I don't do the laundry, I don't do the cleaning, that's something that my wife always did. And it allows them to say, the family to say, this isn't a caregiver, this is a helper that's coming in to do all the things that you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when it's positioned in a little bit different of an angle, it's, oh, I don't have to do the dishes now, and I don't have to do the laundry, and I don't have to remake the bed, and I don't have to clean up the kitchen or whatever it might be. Well, great, I'm bringing somebody in. And
yeah,
it's a way to get somebody to accept help that maybe you're looking to have that snowball down the road.
Yeah, and sometimes that one can be a little tricky to navigate, in that usually if it's a couple, the husband generally does not have any problem with it. But the wife doesn't want to lose her job. So she likes things her way, or it's a loss for her to not be able to do that. So if you can bring someone in to assist and say, well, you know what? She's going to go up and down the stairs to take care of the laundry part. You tell her what to do. You're the boss. Then you can kind of weasel your way in. Because a lot of times there are women out there, elderly women, that are really burning themselves out trying to maintain the house like they did before. And they have health issues, or their spouse's health issues. But they're stubborn. So you got to kind of work with them.
Absolutely. And I'd like to point out that in my example, I was thinking more of like a widower, somebody, okay, that might be alone on their own, that's saying, hey, listen, I've traditionally not done this before over my lifetime, and
yeah,
I'm not going to start learning at 83. And
yeah,
and I was thinking more in that kind of that somebody that maybe is single, versus you're absolutely right. And we see that where, you know, those individuals don't want to give up those chores that they've done, because that's their way of showing that they're providing care, that it's love, and it's a reason to get up in the morning as well.
Yep.
So it's certainly important to do that. Another way that I kind of separated this from home helper, because I felt like it deserved a little bit of its own kind of topic to speak about, is meal preparation. So how about you take the reins on meal prep and kind of why this is a way to introduce home care to somebody?
Well, meal prep is good in that a lot of times, you know, people aren't as threatened by getting some help when it's a sous chef, as they say. It's somebody that's going to cut up the vegetables. It's somebody that's going to help put some things together that, you know, a lot of people will cook a whole meal, but a lot of older people, they eat small portions, break it up and put it into things that could be microwaved later. So it's a matter of they're helping with the little things. cooks. We have had some clients where they so wanted to cook themselves, but due to their arthritis or whatever, they were having trouble manipulating some of the utensils or opening some of those crazy plastic containers like what fruit comes in sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we are solving a problem for them. We're not getting in their way. We're helping them out.
Absolutely. And like going back to my example of the single male or even the single female, I mean, you know, I can only speak with my dad, but even when my mom was alive, they didn't like cooking anymore. They were sick of doing that. They were sick of having, and I feel the same way. You know, I have my girlfriend, but sometimes I'm alone. And sometimes you just don't feel like putting the amount of preparation and work it is to make a meal, to eat it in 5 to 10 minutes by yourself. And then you sit there, you got the leftovers, and the leftovers are going to last you far longer than you really have any intention of eating this food for. And you end up saying, well,
Works to the back of the fridge and then you throw it out.
I can just get a pizza or I can just go out. Now, granted, it's more expensive, but I know that I've had that conversation with my dad where he doesn't go out to eat. And even before he found his live-in girlfriend, you know, he was going out to eat at the club or up at the grill every single night because he didn't want to deal with that. The most work he wanted to do was opening the yogurt in the morning and then maybe slicing the sandwich in the afternoon for his afternoon lunch. And I don't think he slices the sandwich anymore. I think it's just the yogurt now. I think we're at 2 to 3 times a day that he's eating out. But as you get older, you know, my parents, my mom made sure that there was food on the dinner table almost every single night. And my dad was the griller in the summer. My mom was in the kitchen in the winter times. And that's
my
what
parents
they did.
Are still the same way. So I've become the sous chef.
Exactly. So, you know, my thought is that it's a perfect excuse to say, listen, mom, dad, you're not eating healthy meals. You're eating the Hungry Man or the Stouffer's that has tons of sodium, or maybe it's, you know, too much takeout. How about we have somebody come in for two or three hours a week or 4 hours a week, spend 2 hours twice a week making up a nice big lasagna that doesn't have 5 million grams of sodium in it, and you'll have something to eat, and we can cut it up and put it in Tupperware. And it's, again, just that introduction of having an interaction with a caregiver that's coming in to provide a service for somebody.
Yeah, and also with a lot of people, especially people that have been frugal through their life, you know, they don't want to buy the little containers because they cost more.
Yeah.
Well, it's great. Milk by the gallon does cost less, but trying to pour from a gallon jug to put a little milk in your coffee can be a bit of a challenge. So for people to help with the grocery shopping, or even if some people use like a delivery service, a Peapod, whatever, and when that comes to the house, that helper can put things away. And a great advantage is that that helper can be looking at dates and checking for spoiled things in the fridge. Because as people get older, they lose a sense of smell, and they may not smell that the milk's getting sour.
Absolutely. And also a point that I'd like to make to that overall is that, you know, I would go to BJ's or Costco and buy a massive amount of food, or even go in a Stop and Shop. But you only save money if you eat it. You
know what? Right.
So if you buy the jug of milk because it costs less, but you only use a quarter of it and you end up throwing out the other three quarters, you've cost yourself more money than you needed to. While I've looked at various different things and said, yeah, I know this costs more. For example, whenever I get fruit, I know it might contain more bacteria because more handling, but I get the pre-cut up variety of fruit that comes in the plastic packages, because I know if I buy all the individual fruit, it's all going to go to waste, because I feel like you only have 3 days to cut it up anyways.
Anxiety before it all over goes, the fruit.
And I just don't do it. Versus in the morning, I can get the fruit, scoop it into a bowl, and I'm eating the fruit, and it costs more, but I'm actually eating it. So in the end, it costs less. So that's a way to think about that when you're at the grocery store as well.
Yep. Or you go to things like the meat section and somebody buys chicken thighs. There's 6 in a package and you only need 2 a meal. You break it up and freeze them separate.
Absolutely.
You know, things like that can be good.
And then another way to introduce this is kind of in the same vein of transportation, but it's more escort. And what I mean by that is that if somebody's going to a doctor, maybe they have a very important doctor's visit, or they're going to church on a regular basis, or whatever social activities that they like to go to, but they want somebody to come with them because maybe they're unsteady on their feet or they can't drive anymore. we certainly do the transportation side of things, but also we can, like you kind of mentioned with the transportation, we can do the escort as well, where we make sure somebody gets to their destination safely, even after they've driven them there. It's not just that A to B turn around and go home because they got out of the car. We can make sure they get to the doctor's appointment. We can make sure
they bring their med list and make sure whatever papers they leave with get back to the house. So there could be that help that way.
Absolutely. So that's another way to look at it and say, hey, you know, if all those doctor appointments are in the middle of the day and you're trying to get this done, or maybe you're not a church going person, or maybe you are, but it's in a totally different part of the state that you're in from where your parent lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. You can have somebody that's an escort that goes to church with them for an hour and drives them back and forth. So you're talking 2 hours a week of care, and it introduced. Remember, this is all about ways to introduce home care.
Yep. Especially if people have been part of a church, but now they can't get there on their own. I mean, going to my own church, I see people that I know they have caregivers with them. And after church, they're going downstairs to have coffee and donut and say hi to their friends.
Yeah, and that's fine.
It's a good thing.
And then the final way, one of the final things I think is a really great way to introduce home care is maybe through respite care. Now, let's say we'll use the example of church. Maybe you always go to church with your parent and you are the escort for them. But you're going on a 2-week trip with your family to the Bahamas and mom's not coming with you. You need somebody to make sure that she gets to church safely, gets back home, that you can trust, and you can again provide, get respite service for that one-time situation rather mm-hmm. than it being ongoing.
It's almost like, and it sounds funny to say this, but I had this very conversation with a friend of, you know, someone's going to go away and they think, who's going to take care of the dog and who's going to make sure that all that's taken care of? And they kind of have that thought through. But when it comes to a parent, especially if there's someone that maybe is living a little off the beaten path, it's like, oh, so who's going to get her groceries and who's going to check to make sure they're okay and whatever. So during that period of time, you need someone to make sure they're okay.
Absolutely. And so it goes kind of back to the V&A where there is an out-of-pocket cost. I understand that. But there is a finite amount of time that you're going to be using this person because you're going to be back from the Bahamas from 2 Sundays from now. So for those 2 Sundays, and then all of a sudden that allows that stigma and that fear of having somebody help you out go away a little bit more.
And to your point, it's not forever. It's just for this period of time, and then they'll be gone. And to say, you know, and for you know, people like you and me, when talking with our parents, if we're trying to convince them, is to be saying, you're doing me a favor. I will be able to relax. I won't be concerned that you need something.
Absolutely. I know
it's
you
not
don't
that
need
they
it.
Need
yeah,
it.
I know yeah, you don't need it, Janet, but I just feel so much better if you would. You know, and then all of a sudden it's like, fine.
Right.
Begrudgingly like, fine.
Okay, Janet.
Anyway, so those are, I think I said 5 originally, but those are the 6 ways that we think if you're kind of looking at mom or you're looking at dad and you're seeing maybe there's that slow decline that, you know, every Christmas you see that it's tougher for them to bend over or they're walking slower up the stairs or whatever it might be. You know, these are ways to introduce home care in which are not ripping off the Band-Aid and going from 0 to 100 in 3.2 seconds.
Yep.
You know, this is a slow way to introduce home care in which somebody can not feel as if their whole independence and their privacy are being ripped away from them.
It's helping them stay at home.
Absolutely. So those are just some ways to think about. We'd love your feedback, and we do appreciate your listening to us. This is the Caregivers Podcast, Caregivers Toolbox Podcast. Thank you very much, Janet,
and my
pleasure. And I hope you all have a great day.